Week Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Scythe. And I have the mastermind behind the game himself. I have Jamie with me today. How's it going today?
Hey, Barry, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, definitely. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah, I am I'm a game designer and of a few different games, of Viticulture, Tuscany, and Scythe, and Euphoria. And I run a board game publishing company called Stonemeyer Games, based here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Awesome. And how long has the company been a company?
It's been a company since, I guess, the moment that we successfully funded Viticulture on Kickstarter back in 2012.
So you are a veteran when it comes to Kickstarter, then?
Yeah, I guess so. As Kickstarter goes, it hasn't been around that long. But, yeah, I guess, I've had about, I'm on my eighth project right now on Kickstarter.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about Scythe. Tell us, and the listeners, what Scythe is and what we can expect.
Yeah, Scythe is it's a 4X game, which means it's a game that involves exploration, exploitation of resources, extermination or direct combat between players, and expansion, so you're conquering new territories, set in an alternate history 1920s Eastern Europe, a world created by the artist Jacob Rozalski. So players kind of just play these different factions who are converging upon this patch of land and expanding their empire onto that area on the board.
Awesome. And there's five different factions you could play, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Five different factions right now.
That's awesome. Are you looking to expand that number?
Yeah, we are. The first expansion that we have in mind, I haven't designed it yet, but I have a bunch of ideas about it, will be to add two new factions to the game. It'll still just play up to five players, but you can choose between those seven factions at that point instead of the five that we have right now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter itself. I mean, you had a goal of $33,000, and your Kickstarter has been live for 14 days or so.
Right.
And you have about $1.2 million in your funding. So that's amazing. So congratulations on that.
That's a good word to use. Yeah, it is pretty amazing. I'm really elated to have so many backers show up to support it.
Over 12,000 different backers. I mean, of course you could always hope to have something like this, but were you expecting Scythe to have this kind of a, exposure and people getting that excited over it?
It was hard to tell in advance. I always have kind of rough projections on how I think a project will do, but I'm always really nervous about it despite that. To answer your question directly, no, I did not think it would do this well this quickly. I thought maybe, like, best case scenario, it might reach a million over the course of the entire project. But even that was kind of just hopeful. I really had no idea if that would happen.
Yeah. Well, and as we're recording today, you still have 10 days left to go, and it's going to be ending on November 5th. So, I mean, and you've reached so many different stretch goals and everything. So, and it looks like the way that you're going, you're going to reach some more of those definitely by the end of the campaign.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, I've at this point, I've revealed all the stretch goals. They go up to 1.5 million and hopefully we'll get there. If not, I think there's a lot of awesome stuff in the box as it is, but it would be cool to complete all those stretch goals.
Definitely. So tell us how Scythe kind of came to be. How did it, where'd the idea come from, and how did the process work?
Yeah, it's been a little different than my other games because it really started with me finding this world that the artist, Jacob, had started to create on a website called Kotaku, that mainly talks about digital games and video games.
Yeah.
They featured his art there one day a little over a year ago, and it really caught my eye, captured my imagination, and made me want to design a game in that world. So I contacted Jacob to see if he would be interested in me doing that, and he fortunately was. And so that kind of started the process covering the last year of world building with Jacob and figuring out what was the best match for mechanisms and theme for the game. And it really, it all comes back to his art. Like whenever I kind of struggled throughout the design process, I'd look to the art and I'd see like, what is the feeling I get when I look at this art and how do I want to give players that same feeling when they play the game?
Definitely. I love the art in this. It's so cool. I mean, obviously it has that, whole, you know, steampunk type of feel to it where, you know, it's in the 1920s during, you know, what would be World War One, but you have all this more advanced technology than, of course, we did in our regular history. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a fun and awesome concept. And the art is fantastic. I think that's exciting that you were able to reach out to him and then he's like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I did not expect him to accept that. I didn't even know if he spoke English because he's Polish, but fortunately his English is very good and we don't.
Well, that's good.
it's been fun to work with him.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, having this Kickstarter be so successful as it is, and obviously we've mentioned that you've had other Kickstarters before, what would you recommend? Because we have some people that are aspiring developers and designers that want to get their games on Kickstarter. What would be a good advice or something that you've learned through your experience working with Kickstarter that would be helpful for them?
Yeah, I'll say three quick things that I think could help. The first is that this is probably obvious, but I found that not everyone does it. I think it's really important to back other Kickstarter projects to learn from what they're doing. I've learned so much about how I want to run my campaigns based on the way other people run their campaigns. And so even if it's just a matter of going out and backing 5 to 10 projects for $1 each and then following them, I think that research can go a long way. The second thing is I think it's really important to start building a crowd and a fan base and excitement for the game well in advance of launching the Kickstarter. I think sometimes people think that they can just show up at Kickstarter and the crowd will show up and immediately back it. But really, a lot of that work goes in advance of launching the project, so people show up on day one.
Definitely. That's something that other Kickstarters have, designers have stated. You know, you have to have that, you know, foundation of all your networking contacts to be able to get the ball moving, and so they can spread the word even more when the Kickstarter does start.
Exactly. Yeah. And the third thing is I talk about both of those concepts and a lot more on my blog, which I write a blog called KickstarterLessons.com it's just like a step-by-step guide of everything you need to know when you prepare for and when you run and when you then execute and finalize a Kickstarter project. So even though I know that's a little self-promotional, I don't really gain anything from it. It's just a resource that I put out there to help other creators.
That's okay. We're all about, pimping ourselves out on this show. So I'll make sure to have links to the show notes for our listeners so they could definitely check out those Kickstarter lessons as well, and also to all your other places. But that, I mean, it's great advice because I think you do see the concept that sometimes people are, yeah, they're like, oh, I have this great game and I know it's great. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to throw it on Kickstarter. But like you said, well, it's wonderful that you think it's great because you need to have a passion about your game, but you also need to make sure other people think it's great too before you start, or then you're just going to kind of get lost in the mass quantity of Kickstarters that actually happen every single day. It's kind of crazy how many different projects get put out every week, and I'm on Kickstarter constantly looking at all the different gaming projects, and just within the game section itself, I mean, you get tons and tons of Kickstarters every week. So it's you definitely have to make yourself stand out among the crowd, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. That's a really, really great point. And I think one of the ways that it can help to stand out is, and this sounds odd, but it helps if you already have, like when you show up at a project to look at it for the first time, if you're the first backer to look at it, if they have zero backers or really, really few backers, you're going to wonder, even if it looks awesome, you're going to wonder, why isn't anyone here? Why doesn't anyone like it? And so if you've built up that crowd in advance and those people actually show up to support you on the first day, that can really help subsequent backers kind of inspire confidence in them to also back it.
Definitely. So how has your experience been with your projects that you're doing and games that you are promoting? Do you send out lots of review copies to reviewers and get the word out that way? And what's the process you go about doing that?
Well, it kind of depends on the timing. So if it's before a Kickstarter project, I usually send out a few prototypes. It depends on how expensive the prototypes are to make. Like with Scythe, each of the prototypes cost about $300 to make.
And so Well, you have all those miniatures and everything.
Exactly, yeah. When they're 3D printed, they cost a lot. So I wasn't able to make a lot of them, and I had to be very selective in the reviewers that I picked for those. When the game will come out next summer or probably next fall, I'll send out more review copies at that point of the final game to reviewers. It usually depends on, like for Between Two Cities, which is a game that we just released, I sent out a bunch of review copies because it's a smaller game, it's not that expensive, and it's easy to send out. Scythe is a big, heavy, expensive game, so I'll probably be a little bit more selective, at least for the first print run. And then I usually like to save some reviewers for the next print run so that I can kind of build up the buzz again when we do it, when like the buzz has died down a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Well, that totally makes sense. It's just a matter of depending on the project would be the correct answer.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Depending on the project, that's what you have to balance and scale how many you send out and everything. And of course, with Scythe being the size and the detail that is involved with making the game, that it totally makes sense that you would send it out to, you know, those really prominent, you know, well-known reviewers, and then expand out afterwards. So that's really good for people to understand that even if you have a big project, it's still important to at least get it out there to a few of those reviewers so they can generate that beginning buzz for sure.
Oh yeah, I find that really important. Especially, I mean, if someone is just making a Kickstarter game and they're not putting it into retail at all, that's maybe a different story. But for most of my games, and I think most creators, they want it to have a successful retail life. And I think reviewers are a huge part of helping with that and just getting the word out and helping people like buy a game that they think they'll actually like rather than buying a game blindly.
Definitely. Well, kind of like that I say at the beginning of the show, you know, it's this, you know, it's important to know if it's, you know, you buy it or it's a try before you buy, you know,
exactly.
And so you have to find those reviewers that you trust their word, and obviously they enjoy the same games that you enjoy. And then if they say they like it, then it's a good indication that you'll probably like it as well.
Exactly.
So it's important to find those reviewers out there. So what is your favorite part about the creation of Scythe? What was your favorite thing that you did on the project?
Well, you know, I really enjoyed the blind play testing process for Scythe, which was a little different than what we've done on previous projects. It's similar, but a little different. Like for Euphoria and Tuscany, we had a bunch of blind play testers, which just in case your listeners aren't familiar with that term, that means when I send out the digital files and or prototypes of the game to people around the world who are willing to learn the rules themselves and teach it and play it with their own group of people and then send me feedback.
Yeah, kind of like a print-and-play type of situation.
Exactly, yeah. And it's blind because it means that I'm not there standing over the game, like, watching people and explaining things. You can get a lot of insights from doing blind playtesting because I'm not there.
No, that makes sense because, you know, you're there. If you're there, you're like, oh, well, you do it this way. But if you're not there, then people will be like, I don't understand the wording of this rule or something like that. And so they need to – and then they can send that to you and be like, oh, okay, well, I didn't – since you're so close to the project, it's good to have someone that's not so close be like, the wording on this, or this doesn't make sense, and then that way you can take a look at it for sure.
That's exactly why we do it. And it's so helpful for those reasons. And for Scythe, we kind of, because it's an asymmetric game where each faction has different abilities, there was a lot of balancing issues to figure out during the blind playtesting process. And so I guess the thing that was unique about this process for Scythe was that we had just these massive forum discussions with the playtesters about their ideas, their opinions, what they thought was balanced or imbalanced. And we haven't had that level of discussion on my previous games when we blind playtested them. I really enjoyed that, just hearing all those thoughts and feedback on the game. I could see the game like getting incrementally better and better and better, more balanced and more fun as we went through that process.
Definitely. Well, I mean, this is an amazing game. It looks super exciting, and I think everyone should definitely go and check out Scythe on Kickstarter right now. Jamie, thanks for being on the show. I know that your schedule is probably really crazy right now, dealing with especially hitting all those stretch goals, and you had to add all that extra content into the game. So as Jamie said, we could hope to get the game by next fall sometime. And why don't you tell people more where they can find out about your company and more about Scythe?
Sure. Yeah, my company website is stonemeyergames.com. We are on Twitter and Facebook at Stonemeyer Games, and you can also find me on Twitter at Jamie Stegmeyer. And if you search Kickstarter for Scythe, which is I'm sure you'll show it in your show notes, but it's S-C-Y-T-H-E. Then people can find the game, and if it's something that appeals to you, feel free to back it. We'd love to have you as a backer.
Definitely. And thanks again, Jamie, for being on the show. I appreciate your time, and good luck with all your future projects as well.
Thank you, Barry. Good luck with the podcast, too. I've been enjoying it so far.
Thanks. And thanks to Dan Patrice, Dan the Board Game Man. You can find him at the Geek All Stars. He created our intro and outro, and we thank him for that. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.